Even before a book hits the shelf, it comes with expectations. That's why certain authors receive the money that they do ahead of time. That's called the advance. There's one book which, by all accounts, has failed miserably on the expectation test, and that could come with a price to pay for its author in the political world. Here to discuss the lackluster sales of Hillary Clinton's new book, Hard Choices, is the online editor for the Weekly Standard, author of the upcoming book, Clinton, Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine, Daniel Harper. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. How are you?
WeeklyStandard.com is the website for the, obviously, Weekly Standard. Not to make fun of anything, but, you know, given the lackluster sales of Hard Choices, are you thinking of changing the title of your book from Rebuilding of a Political Machine to something else, maybe?
Listen, I'd love to fail. I'd love for my book to fail as badly as her book. You know, I'd love to only sell 60 or 100,000 copies of my book. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, but your publisher didn't give you $14 million.
That's correct. That's therein lies a big difference. I'm not going to get the media rollout that Secretary Clinton certainly received. And as you said, there are certain expectations that come with a big name author and perhaps the next president of the United States. Obviously, that's why people are buying the book, to see whether there's any insight into how she might govern, any candor into the past and how she performed as Secretary of State. And I think the book sales reflect that there just isn't that much in there, and perhaps there's a little less interest in Secretary Clinton than her publishing house and perhaps herself and all her supporters thought.
Most reports say 1 million copies of the book were shipped before the publication day, which was June 10th. There's no way that 1 million are going to sell until they start tossing them out in the cutout bin, maybe.
No, they're going to, a lot of them, I assume, are going to be pulped and otherwise disposed. It's not, you know, it happens in the book industry. The book industry isn't doing so well, and they make big bets on authors that don't do so well. One of them right now is Secretary Clinton.
Well, here's the crazy part, too, because you would think that Democrats, by and large, they're working on playing to the younger voters, and, you know, we're in the internet age, so you think the e-books would have been the sweet spot for something like this. But in the first week, at least 60,000 hardcovers went, and only 24,000 e-books went.
Right. I think what it boils down to is this: Secretary Clinton has put out an over 600-page press release, and
yes,
she's asking people to pay $27.99 or however much, $35, I think, for the privilege of reading her press release. Now, some suckers are going to do it. I think most reasonable people are going to say, you know what? If I'm going to read a book, I want something good or something well written, something thoughtful, something interesting. I don't want just a campaign press release that's supposed to set up her next presidential campaign. It's not worth the money to me, and I'm going to be inundated with ads and what and debates for the next 2 years. Why would I support the process so early on?
Just a little compare and contrast. Hillary's book back in 2003, Living History, on the first day did 40,000 sales. So it's, you know, she's one of those authors that maybe one was enough for her. But, you know, getting back to the presidential run, this is something I had Rick Santorum on the show a couple of weeks ago with. He has a book out, too. And I posed the question that we're in one of these strategies that candidates use is, let me write a book. If the sales work, then instead of dipping my toe in, I'll stick my whole foot into the water and think of the next presidential campaign cycle. If that was the philosophy for Camp Clinton on this idea, I mean, do they take this as a hint and a nudge, or do they ignore it and say, well, the people just don't get it and I'm still going to do it?
Well, there's another interest here on the Clinton's part, and that is simply to make money. And the $14 million advance helps. That's a big incentive to make a lot of money. And it also, the fact that she hasn't yet announced raises her speaking fees. So when she goes and speaks at trade organizations and, you know, mid-level trade organizations that you or I have never heard of, you know, she can charge them $200,000 to speak in Chicago or in, you know, Phoenix or wherever she's going around speaking and fill her own coffers that way. So, I mean, it's not just the presidential campaign, but I think her advisors are taking note. They're trying to spin it in the best way possible. They're trying to say, oh, no, we expect it to do well. The book industry has changed so much and everything. But as you said, in comparison to her last book, where it sold 40,000 on the first day, this book has none of those numbers. I mean, it's nothing like that. And more to the point, of how there's more proof that they're trying to spin it, I would suggest, is that they gave her an even larger advance this time, not in anticipation that the sales would be worse. Of course they wouldn't do that. There is obviously an anticipation that the sales would be better. So the fact that the sales are worse, no matter what they're saying now, there is no, money speaks louder than words sometimes, and I think this is one of those cases, and I just don't see how they square it.
Oh, Daniel Harper from the Weekly Standard, also author of the upcoming book, Clinton Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine, at weeklystandard.com on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. This whole, you know, when you look at the book tour, I mean, you mentioned, too, and as far as, you know, my having been around the book industry, you know, booking people for the show and everything and dealing with PR after PR after PR, this wasn't a PR effort. This was like the Hillary Clinton Public Affairs Administration with the number of people they had involved on this whole thing.
Right. They had an hour-long ABC special. Then she came in Good Morning America the next morning. Then she was on NBC. Then she was on CBS. Then she was on CNN for an hour. Then she was on Fox News for 37 minutes. She has been everywhere. She has been on the BBC. She's been on Canadian television. She has been in the New York Times. There's not a publication that she perceives as somewhat friendly to her that hasn't had her on. And it is the mark of the start of a presidential campaign. Some might see it as though she is testing herself to see whether or not she can do it and whether or not she is ready to throw herself in the mix again. You know, keep in mind, as Secretary of State, she was out of politics in a way that she hadn't been in much of her most recent life.
Right.
So it is sort of a test to see whether or not she can withhold the stamina.
This whole idea, too, of the Cam Clinton saying it'll do good. Books rarely start off low and move up.
No, they're like movies. They're like anything else in media. Their biggest opening is the first week most of the time.
And I always get to, you mentioned that just some of the media stops that she's made and many more on top of that. And it made me think back to my disc jockey days when format was transferring from vinyl and cassette into CD. If a record company sent me every possible format of a particular song and sent me a lot of it, that basically, even before I listened to it, I just got to the point where, well, you're giving me so much, then you must be really worried about someone liking what you're sending out. That was my impression. They put so much out there for free with Hillary that they must have thought in the back of their minds that we need to push this a little harder because unless we do, people ain't going to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, and one element, though, is sort of the preparation for the campaign, as I've suggested. And one, to further that point, is the way that they rolled out the Benghazi chapter, which the Secretary Clinton knows that as she goes forward closer to 2016, that's going to be a big problem that's going to hound her as she continues to campaign for the presidential bid. And so what they did was they rolled out the chapter on Benghazi first. They leaked it to Politico on a Friday, had them publish excerpts of it or report on the excerpts of it. And then she goes to Fox and she answers all the Benghazi questions. That way, a year from now, she can rightfully say, well, I went to Fox, I answered all the Benghazi questions. I don't know why these people are still bothering me about this old news story. So there is a bit of strategy in talking to everybody that goes sort of beyond the overexposure. But I think you do have a good point.
You know, with the readers today, too, so many of these books have ghostwriters to them. Do we know how much is actually Hillary's doing and how much was ghostwritten for her? And this is just a symbol for people who use ghostwriters that if you're coming through with a promise of A-quality material, make sure it's from you and not from somebody else.
Well, there is that old saying, I think it's by George Will, you know, that I'm not going to read a book that the author herself hasn't even read. But it doesn't seem like that's the case. She does sort of seem familiar with the material in the book based on the interviews and based on me having read the book. But she does also thank her book team, which she outlines at least three or four people on that team. So it was a team effort. I don't know whether she was the primary player on that team or whether or not she just gave essentially interviews to her team who then wrote, you know, transcribed and then tried to craft that the transcriptions into a narrative form, which is sort of how these things tend to work with politicians.
Got about a minute left here. Give me a little rundown of Clinton, Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine. What's your mission statement with this book?
Well, I basically chronicle how two people serve their country and in the process enrich themselves and those around them. And, you know, you heard Hillary Clinton say that she is broke, or that she was broke leaving the White House. So it starts where they're supposedly broke, and it shows how they've enriched themselves all along the way, making them their net worth more than $100 million today, all based on public service. It's never been done before quite like this in American history. And more to the point, it's never been done for somebody who's going to run for president next time around. And so I try to chronicle that. It's a reported book. I've talked to dozens of sources, some who love her, some who hate her, and I've tried to compile the true story of how they did that.
And again, that title is Clinton, Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine. He's the online editor at the Weekly Standard, weeklystandard.com on the web, Daniel Harper. Daniel, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.